Okay, so I thought we should, while we're here in this first part of Chulin, so we should take note of the sugya of Maisa Shabbos, which a very, very practical, extremely practical issue. We're not going to have time to get into all of the practicalities, but we should be aware of some of the concepts and some of the practicalities. So we'll start a little bit today, probably continue a little bit next time. But first off, so there is a machlokas in the Gemara about what exactly is the consequence of a malacha on Shabbos. So if you look in the Gemara on the top of Tesvav Mar Aleph, so there's a quotation, the Tanan HaMavashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochol B'Mezid Lo Yochol D'Ver Meir. So Reb Meir's position is that if somebody cooks on Shabbos, so is Mavashal unique here, or is this any malacha? So it seems like it's any malacha, but we'll see. There might be some modifications that have to be drawn. The way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch is that this is just an example, that this is there in Shulchan Aruch together with Bishul at the beginning in Shin Yud Ches, but it makes it clear there that it's true about any malacha. We'll see. I'll give you in a few minutes a reason to modify it a little bit in the chumra direction. In the kula direction, there are two possible exceptions. One possible exception is carrying. Then when it comes to carrying on Shabbos, so there are Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Chayyadim and others, and there's earlier a ritva like this in Erevin, that carrying is an exception because it's a malacha grua. So what does that mean, a malacha grua? It's discrimination. What does it mean to call it a lousy malacha? Why does it get insulted like that? So some of the Rishonim understand that what's the issue with Hotzah? Why is it different? So you're not creating anything. And that idea that, you know, anyone who talks to somebody who's not an observant Jew, and they try to explain the Shabbos, we're at rest, so they say, you're at rest, that's why you have to walk so far, and that's why you can't just flip on a light switch when you need it. What is that going to do with rest? So we try to explain that rest doesn't mean what you think rest of relaxing. It means something else. So what does it mean? So we often explain that it means creative effort. That's how Shamshon Ophel Hirsch and others explain. But that idea you really already find in Rishonim. So notably the Or Zeruah says that Hotzah is the Malacha Gerua because it doesn't change anything. It doesn't have any creative impact on the world. And his language is Meikara Chefetz V'Hashda Chefetz. When you pick it up, it's a thing. And when you put it down, it's a thing. Nothing changed. So it's not like cooking, which, as we know, is a very well-appreciated creative act, or writing, or things like that. So there, something new comes into the world, or something is significantly changed. And carrying doesn't seem to fit that model. So because there's no actual change, so then it could be that there's no iser to benefit from the result of this malacha, because it's not considered to be a result in the malacha itself. The Ritva says that also, without using the term there, malacha grua, but essentially understanding that the iser that we're going to see here about being nene from a Maisa Shabbos is when it changes something. If it doesn't change something, or it doesn't clearly change something, then maybe we don't have that issue. There is also an opinion in Poskim, there might be another exception, that when it comes to borer, so even though borer is a change, that food is now perfected, but when it comes to borer, there's usually a way to do it beheter. And if a person actually violated borer, it's because he didn't know what he was doing or whatever, but you could have gotten the same result without the malacha. So there, that may also be an exception. But in any event, for most malachas, it seems like this is not just about Bishul, but for most malachas, Mavashul B'Shabbos So if it was b'shogeg, says Reb Meir, then you can eat it. B'mezer lo yochel. But if you did it on purpose, so then he may not eat it. And Reb Yehuda omer b'shogeg yochel. L'moitzoy Shabbos. I'm sorry, I said that if he did it b'shogeg, then he can eat it, but not right away. He still shouldn't benefit on Shabbos from what was done, but he should eat it. He can eat it Masoy Shabbos. And b'mezid l'yochol olamis. Right, so Rabbi Huda is more machmer. That the heter b'shogeg, he agrees with, but not on Shabbos, because you're still benefiting from something that was done on Shabbos. And b'mezid, so there he's extending that forever. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer b'shogeg yochel motzi Shabbos v'acherim v'lo lo. So here Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that if it was done b'shogeg, he can eat motzi Shabbos only if he's somebody else, not the person who did it. And b'mezid lo yochel olamis lo lo v'lo l'acherim. And if he did it on purpose, so then no one can benefit from it forever. So here, there's a lot of distinctions to try to figure out. But just first, in terms of the concept, so this is a dimmi Torah, is a dimmi Rabbanan. So presumably Rabbanan, and I'd say more than presumably, because there's two things that make it Rabbanan Dek. One is that it has mechanics of a Rabbanan. You see that it's a Knas. So basically it follows the logic of a Knas rather than as a more absolute Dimina Torah. But also the Gemara, exactly 100 blot later, also on Maseches Chulin, on Daf Kuf Tesvav Med Aleph, tells us a fascinating thing. Right, what does this Gemara say? It appears in a few other places in Shas also, but let's keep things in the Chulin family. But what does this Gemara say here? So, Elamayata, asking about a different din. Tavokuf Tesvav Meralov, Maisa Shabbos Lissuru. We should say that Maisa Shabbos should be prohibited. Dahati avdil chahu, because it's something that was disgusting, it's something you're not supposed to do. So if you're not supposed to violate Shabbos, so then the result should be prohibited also. The Gemara is saying that in comparison to some other dinim. So says the Gemara, no, it's not true. Amar kra ki kodesh ilochem, hi kodesh, v'ein ma'aseha kodesh. So Shabbos is holy and distinct, but it's creations, that which was done by people on Shabbos, is not Kodesh, in the sense of not being off limits, not being prohibited. So, there's a direct contradiction? No, we're talking about a Knas Rabbanan on our daf. And the Gemara later on is telling us what the Ikar Dimmon HaTorah is. So, the Ikar Dimmon HaTorah is that there's no Isser Maisa Shabbos. There's an issur to do malacha, but the results of that malacha are permitted. And midrabanan, we have some type of a plan to penalize it and to discourage it, and how exactly that plan is structured, we see here with three-way machlokes. So this has some conceptual importance here, because, first of all, why is it mutter min haTorah? And why did Chazal come and change things? So this plugs into a major machlokas regarding Shabbos as a whole. And it also plugs into a major methodological question about learning and understanding halacha. So I'll try to explain both. Before we get to this Gemara, there is a major discussion in the Achronim that a number of Achronim, the most prominent among them is the Chassam Sofer. So let's use him as the flag bearer for this position. Maintain that the Isser Malacha on Shabbos has a particular character to it. And this was really brought up to reply to a question that some earlier Achronim raised, the Beis Meir and the Tshuvas Pnei Yehoshua, where they asked that we have a prohibition of Amir al-Akum, not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for us on Shabbos. But, similar to Maisa Shabbos, that prohibition is Midrabanan. So Minat Torah, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for you. So these Achronim ask, why should that be? Isn't that a game? I mean, if the Torah doesn't want you doing Malacha, Torah doesn't want me cooking or driving or writing a novel, so why can I ask a non-Jew, based on Torah law, why can I ask a non-Jew to do these things? Isn't that an open subversion of the Torah's intent? Isn't that like hiring a hitman to murder someone instead of murdering yourself? It's still murder. So, at least morally, right? At least morally, it's still murder. So, a number of Achronim maintain that this shows you, or maybe other things show you, they're Medayik and Psukim and Chumash this way, but this either reflects or teaches you that the nature of the Isser Malacha on Shabbos is not about Malacha happening. On a Torah level, we have no problem if you are provoking and causing and indirectly responsible for Malachas on Shabbos. The nature of the Isser Malacha is that you should be at rest. That the individual Jew should be in a state of Menucha. And as long as you're in the state of Menucha, it doesn't matter that you are responsible for Malachas happening all over the place. And that's why, by Torah law, Amir al-Akum is mutter. This is a major yesod, which has a lot of practical halachic ramifications. And if we had more time, or if we were learning Masechah Shabbos, so we'd spend more time discussing some of what these ramifications are. But just to give you an example, a question that's much more relevant now to other kinds of technology. But a few decades ago, a fax was a new thing. So the Tshuvas Dvar Yehoshua, who we'll mention again in a few minutes, Tshuvas Dvar Yehoshua was Yehoshua Menachem Ehrenberg, who was a dayan in Tel Aviv. So he discusses the question of, if it's Motzi Shabbos for you, let's say in Israel, and you want to fax someone in America, or still Shabbos, are you allowed to do that? Or Friday afternoon in America, you want to fax someone in Israel, are you allowed to do that? So, faxing is a good example. Let's assume there isn't anyone on the other end doing any malacha. Paper's just going to land on the floor. So you're provoking a malacha somewhere else, where it's not Shabbos for you. So he assumes, based on this principle, that it's mutter. This is because there's no isser to cause malachos on Shabbos. The isser is that you have to be at rest on Shabbos. So where you are, it's not Shabbos. So you can't be in violation of Chil Shabbos if it's not Shabbos for you. So therefore, he assumes, not everyone agrees with this, but he assumes that there isn't any problem creating a malacha somewhere else where it's Shabbos there if you are not right now personally subject to the obligation of Shemirah Shabbos. And there are a number of other nafkaminas. This is a principle that comes up in a number of places. So, this is the yesod many achronim advanced, and not everyone accepted it. So, Shlomo Yosef Zevin, who I think we've mentioned in a few contexts this year, was a Gaon Hashem Mechaber. So, he had a mastery of a lot of areas of Torah. So Rav Zevin has an essay about Shabbos in a Sefer Lor HaHalacha. And there, he takes issue with this yesod. He doesn't think it's true. He thinks Shabbos is about the environment. You're not supposed to be causing malachas either. So he has various proofs and various ways of relating to other proofs in that essay. And here's my methodological question number one. What would you say about the following? If you're trying to figure out what a din is about, and you're trying to look at the details of a din in order to understand its nature. What would you do if the din is one thing based on Torah law, and rabbinic law is different? So would you say that we look at the din min haTorah in order to understand what the din is about, and we assume that the rabbinic adaptation is because of technical reasons, but doesn't actually tell us what the law is really about? The law is really about the way it's in the Torah, and Chazal added to it only for technical reasons? Or maybe you should assume the opposite, that maybe the reason Chazal added on their din is because they understood that the din that they are telling you is consistent with what the Torah's mitzvah is really about, and it was a technicality that it wasn't included in the first book. And maybe that's Chazal's job, to figure out what is excluded only on technicalities and put that in as a matter of practice too. So this case that we talked about Amir al-Akum, so that you could have this question. When it comes to Amir al-Akum, so why don't we say that it teaches us one thing or another? So the Chassam Sofer in his camp will say that if you want to understand what Shabbos is about, look at the Din Min HaTorah, and don't focus on the Din D'Rabbanan, which is there for technical reasons. And so you could say that the Din Min HaTorah, which allows you to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you, shows you that we don't really care about anything outside of our own menucha as far as the Yisur Shabbos is concerned. As long as the individual Jew is at rest, it doesn't matter that he's provoking malachos by asking a non-Jew to do malacha. And the fact that the rabbis asked it, so that's a technical issue that maybe we're concerned it may lead to you doing a malacha or other kinds of considerations, but it doesn't reflect the concept. While Rav Zevin would say the exact opposite. Zevin would say, no, the fact that Chazal asserted it, it's because they understood that it was against the spirit of the Isser. And that maybe it was a technicality that it wasn't prohibited on the Torah level. What do you mean by a technicality? So maybe, let's say, all right, in Torah there's no shlichus for a non-Jew. So if you're going to ask a non-Jew to do something on your behalf, it doesn't actually connect to you. So it would have been a p'tur on a technicality. So, but because the rabbis understood that, listen, if you're not supposed to do a malacha yourself, you shouldn't cause a malacha either, and they filled in the gap then, and they said, don't have a non-Jew do it, essentially saying it is like hiring a hitman to kill someone, that even if your hands are technically clean, clearly that's against the spirit, and you shouldn't do it. While the Chassam Sofer camp will say, no, there's a difference between the hitman and this. The hitman, the Torah doesn't want people being murdered. So if you do it yourself, if you hire a hitman, both ways you're causing a murder. But it's not true about malachas. There's no issue with malachas happening on Shabbos. The only issue is with you, the Jewish person, doing the malachas. And as long as you're not doing them, it's not the isser. So you get the general methodological question here. If you want to understand the concept, what are we looking at? Are we looking at safeguards, though? So it's a good question. Maybe yes, maybe no. And there are different types. Yeah. And
maybe Shabbos overall would be like more big.
Shabbos is uniquely given to having different types, actually. And that's, maybe we'll see if we'll have more time to discuss that on Sunday. For example, Rav Schechter has a whole essay about this in one of his farm, that Shabbos particularly, there are at least two types. Because there are gezeros, there are safeguards, and there are malachos derabanan. Malachos derabanan are more in the spirit of, here's something which, for whatever reason, doesn't actually get defined as a malacha min haTorah, but has the properties of a malacha, so we should prohibit that also. So, where Amir al-Akum fits is actually an interesting question.
Even if we would say, let's say Amir al-Akum is like a new malacha derabanan type of thing, so fine, maybe that shows that it might not be the best idea to do something which violates the spirit of, let's say, Amir al-Akum, but Chazal, the power to Asher, like, poskim nowadays don't really have that power.
Correct, but this was Asher ready from Chazal, so the question is, when Chazal Asher'd it, is that a technicality, but it doesn't tell you anything about what the din is really about? Or should we say, no, they Asher'd it because they understood that it's consistent with the spirit of the din?
Yeah, but what's that spirit, like
that's why there's room to argue about it, because I think it's not so obvious.
I don't understand the other side, really. Meaning, the Chazal are being megala that really meant the Raisa itself. So there's that it's fine.
But maybe it never meant that it's fine. Maybe, you see, our question was, let's say, the comparison to hiring a hitman. Right? So is it comparable to that or not? So if you hire a hitman, you know, there is a difference between... Yeah, but say also practically, you know, in terms of Onshei Bezdin. So hiring a hitman is going to treat you differently than killing somebody directly. But we all know morally that if you hire a hitman, you're essentially killing him, and no different than if you're killing him yourself. So Rav Zevin and his camp will say it's the same kind of thing. That the same way you understand that even if we say you're the one who shouldn't be killing, but we also understand that a hitman is doing the same thing. But, and therefore Shabbos should be the same story, that when we say don't write a novel, so having your non-Jewish neighbor write your novel for you on Shabbos is the same thing. Well, the Chasam Sofer camp will say that no, it's not the same thing, that when it comes to murder, okay, murder is about not having people get killed. But when it comes to Melachos on Shabbos, there is no issue with having Melachos on Shabbos. The issue is that you, the Jewish individual, should not be doing the Melachos.
There's this, like, by murder, we have other... we have Jewish moral concepts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have that by Shabbos.
But maybe we do. That's really what this machlokas is trying to figure out.
No,
what is the nature of the Isser Melacha on Shabbos?
If it didn't be a real Isser, I just don't understand how that works.
Well, it wouldn't be an Isser Menah Torah, but then is that maybe...
Even Isser the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon were attacking a certain thing. They weren't...
But maybe they're attacking that along the spirit of Melachos the Rabbanon, that when they see that something really is a reflection of what the Torah is trying to prohibit, but for whatever reason it doesn't fit the actual parameters, it could be that many didn't draw on an R about that.
Which is a long... the overall spirit of anything which...
Possibly. Now, it's a longer discussion, but I want to make sure to get a certain point in before Mincha, and then we can also, we'll finish this topic on Sunday, and we'll say more about it, and we can revisit this, but I just want to get the point relevant to our Gemara in before we run out of time today. So... this question that I'm asking you methodologically, if you want to understand the concept, what do you look to? Do you look to the Pasuk, or do you look to the Din D'Rabbanan? Look to the Din Min HaTorah, look to the Din D'Rabbanan. So once you've digested that question, I'll add a third level to make the game more advanced. What if you have a drasha from a Pasuk? So the Gemara tells you, because of this Pasuk, we now know that this is the din. So, does that, what reflects more about what the concept is? The drasha that the Pasuk comes to teach us? Or should you say that, no, by its very nature, a drasha is a chiddush. And it implies that without that drasha, you would have thought something else. So what you would have thought without the drasha, that's really what the din is about, and the drasha is essentially a quirk.
You see what I focus on, like Rabbi Yochanan, I think people said, like Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish, one after watching, like one of them holds that the drasha tells you it's negative stam, and one tells you that the drasha is commanded stam.
Okay, so let's figure that out here. So in this context, if you have a drasha and what you would have thought without it, what really reflects the din? And to make this game more complicated, what if you have a din from a drasha, what you would have thought without it? Those are two choices. And then you have a din d'rabbanan on top of it that changes it. Now you got three places to look. What tells you the most about what the din is? The drasha, what you would have thought without the drasha, or the din d'rabbanan? So where's an example of that? So I'm sorry to refer everyone out of time, so I'll make sure to get this in before we do, and then we'll talk about it more on Sunday. So where do you see an example of this? Chulun daf kuf tezvav mudal. Because apparently, here we have a drasha. Hi kodesh vein maaseh kodesh. And the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that there is no isser maaseh Shabbos. But we know from chulun tezvav mudal that midrabanan is an iser ma'aser Shabbos. So, in terms of the Chasam Sofer and Rav Zevin and all of that, so what would you think about ma'aser Shabbos? Where does that fit in? What makes more sense? That if somebody does a malacha on Shabbos, should the result be prohibited or not? if you try to work it in with the whole concept of what the Isra Malacha is about. So there are those who assume that if you say that, like the Chassam Sofer, that it's only about you being at rest, there's nothing wrong with a Malacha. The Isra is you doing a Malacha on Shabbos, but a Malacha has no stigma to it. So then there are those who assume that there's no reason why there should be an Isra Maisa Shabbos. There's nothing bad about cooking or about planting. You're not allowed to do it. But cooking and planting are neutral activities. And if one were to say that there is something bad about the result, on an inherent level, Minat Torah, so then you're saying that it's not just that you should not be planting and cooking on Shabbos. It's that planting and cooking on Shabbos is objectively bad. So one who assumes this is the Shaul HaMeshiv. Shaul HaMeshiv, Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson, who was a massive posek who wrote roughly 62 trillion tshuvas in small print. He just wrote a million tshuvas. So one of these many tshuvas, the Shaul HaMeshiv says, he says, this Gemara, Chulin Kuftas Vavimar Aleph, is a slam dunk raya against the Chassam Sofer and others. He says, the fact that Maisa Shabbos, says, by default, this Gemara is telling us that Maisa Shabbos should have been Asr. And that it's a Chiddush to say that it's Mutter. The Pasuk comes and brings a Chiddush telling us that it's actually Mutter. So that means the default is it should have been prohibited. So that shows you that Malacha is bad. Yeah?
The default could have been we wouldn't have been sure.
Maybe. I'm personally, I'm with you that I'm not totally sold on this whole idea of the drasha being the opposite of what otherwise would be.
Either the opposite or that there was some...
I agree. And I also think that that when you have a drasha, maybe that is telling you then what the din is. So that becomes the concept. But just Shaul HaMeshiv was, again, a tremendous guy who wrote millions of tshuvas. So Shaul HaMeshiv, he's absolutely convinced about this. He says, this Gemara shows you that the Chassam Sofer and his chaver are wrong. Because it shows you that your default impression would be that Maisa Shabbos should be prohibited. And it's a chiddush in the pasuk that it's mutter. And if it should have been prohibited by Svara, it means that the nature of the Isra Malacha on Shabbos is that cooking is bad and writing is bad. And the result is treif. And it's only a chiddush that's not that way. So then he says, well, we still have to answer then. So what about the question that started off that whole principle? That why is it mutter min haTorah to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for you? So says the Shaul HaMeshiv, he says, that's a technicality. He says, because on Shabbos we have a standard of Melechas Machshavas. And if you're asking someone else to do a Melacha for you, then it means that you have the Machshavas, he has the Melechas. They're in two different places. So it's a technicality. To be Chayiv on Shabbos, you need to have the Melechas Machshavas together. And if it's someone acting on your behalf, he's got the Melechas, you've got the Machshavas. But otherwise, Malacha is bad, and this proves it in a slam dunk way, he says. Now, this prompts another question. And again, I think we'll have to fill in more about this on Sunday. This prompts another question, but then wait a minute. So why did Chazal come and change it? Right? That if, once you have a Chiddush in the Pasuk, which you also have to answer, so why did the Torah then have this? What's, is this a drush we just don't understand? Is this Gzeiras HaKasuv? Or is there something more to it? But once the Torah explicitly says Mutter, so then, how could the rabbis change it? And I guess we were already out of time, but this is particularly a problem because of a Taz, which is among the most often cited Tazes. So we have to figure out exactly what's happening here. So I guess we'll have to pick up with all of that, God willing, on Sunday and get into some of the practicalities of Maisa Shabbos. Some fascinating stuff. So look forward to it. It should be some pretty intense, but we'll have a Shabbos in between to think about it. But tomorrow is a Parsha day.